It's always a blessing to have those visiting from other congregations and worshiping with us. It's an encouragement. There are so many things that divide us these days. There are tigers in Ozark. There are eagles in Nixa. There are Americans. There are North Koreans. There are Christians. There are Muslims. There are men and women, black and white. The list could go on and on and on. Lots of things that divide us. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 3. Clayton's been doing a good job. He laid out a mission of doing an overview of these books, and we keep dragging him deeper and deeper into Galatians. So I'm going to help Clayton out, and I'm going to do a little digging in Galatians chapter 3 today. I'd like for everybody to follow along with me. Galatians 3, 1 through 14. Oh, foolish Galatians. And as we read this, I'd like for you in your mind to think about the two camps of people that the Galatians were falling into as he was writing this letter. And I think they'll bear out as we read this. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed to you as crucified? This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, that you now are trying to be made perfect by the flesh? You have suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain. Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he not do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Just as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Therefore, know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, "In you all nations of the earth shall be blessed." So then, those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. And I'll go ahead and stop there. So I think that we can summarize what Paul just wrote to these Galatians who were struggling with a gospel of works of the law, with a gospel of faith in Jesus Christ, by him saying that everyone in this room, everyone in that day, whether you are of this descent or that descent, rich or poor, male or female, quick-witted or slow-witted, old or young, anyone can be a child of Abraham and inherit the blessings promised to him if and only if you live by faith. The main point is stated in both verse 7 and verse 9. And between those two verses, you have Old Testament support from which those two verses are inferred. The structure is very simple. Follow along with me. Look at verse 6. It quotes Genesis chapter 15, verse 6. Just as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. From which Paul infers in verse 7, therefore, or so you see, because of that, it is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham. In other words, the thing that makes a person the son of Abraham is what? Faith will make you the son of Abraham. Then in verse 8, he quotes another Old Testament passage, Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. He says, "In you shall all nations be blessed." And then in verse 9, he infers the point again. So then, those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. So, I'll say it again. The thing that qualifies you to be blessed with Abraham is what? Your faith. That is the main point in verse 7 and verse 9. Anyone who has faith can be a child of Abraham, and that means you also will inherit the blessings promised to Abraham and his seed. Now, when I hold that concept up in front of my mind as a 21st century person, it causes me to wonder a few things. Number one, what does it mean to be a child of Abraham? And number two, speaking of myself, how is it that a 35-year-old Caucasian Gentile who works at an accounting firm Monday through Friday, wakes up on Saturday morning, fries some bacon, and goes to Silver Dollar City, how is it that I can be a descendant of Abraham, a son of Abraham? And so if this passage in Galatians chapter 3 is going to have any impact on our lives, so that it really kindles our faith and makes us walk out of this room here today stronger, then we need to dig in a little bit deeper and find out just how deep Abraham's blessings really are and just how wide that inheritance really is. So my aim for giving this lesson to you today is for the advancement of your faith, so that when your faith is lived out in your life and it produces fruit and you bear righteousness, others will see that fruit and they will glorify God. That's what I'm trying to do here today. So let's get into Galatians chapter 3 a little deeper and see if we can come away with some faith-strengthening truth here. All right. A great deal in this passage hangs on the fact of what does it mean to be a child of Abraham? So let's first look at that. There are three things I want to give you, three facts to point out. Number one, what does it mean to be a child of Abraham? It is not the same as being physically descendant from the man, the Jew, Abraham. Look with me in Galatians chapter 3, verses 28 and 29. He says, "There is neither Jew nor Greek, neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." So the first thing that we see here in these two verses, based on those, is that Jews and non-Jews are both offspring of Abraham. And so being an offspring of Abraham cannot be equated to physical descendancy only. Another passage where this is confirmed is Romans chapter 9, if you'd like to turn there, verses 6 and 7. Paul's writing here and he says, "But it is not that the word of God has taken no effect, for they are not all Israel who are Israel, nor are they all children because they are the seed of Abraham, but in Isaac your seed shall be called." I think that's pretty clear. In Paul's thinking, to be a child of Abraham is not the same as being a Jew. So how can this white Anglo-Saxon Christian become the son of a Jewish man, Abraham? I think that that question for me and for you is very close to the heart of the gospel in what I asked this morning in Clayton's class. If we don't understand what it means to be a child and not be a Jew, then I think we're missing a lot of the entire story of the gospel and our adoption and our union with Christ to be a part of Him. So before we ask that question, how can it be that I could be a Jew? This question has to come first. Is Paul being faithful to the Old Testament? Or is he twisting and distorting the Torah, the book of the law? Is this what Moses really meant whenever he wrote these things down? So I think we need to go back and check this out just a little bit. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 12. This is the foundational promise for the Jewish nation. And in it, there is a promise that has to do with us here today, sitting in this room. The Lord had said to Abram, "Get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all families of the earth shall be blessed." I hope you didn't miss that. All families of the earth will be blessed. The Coopers, the Overstreets, the Morrises, the Fords. You will all be blessed because of what God is doing through Abraham. When God chose Abram before the name change to start a new nation of Israel with him, he made sure that Abram knew that the Jewish people were created for the whole world, not just for themselves. The mission for them was to be a blessing, not just to receive a blessing. Their destiny is to serve all nations, and that is the passage that Paul quotes in Galatians chapter 3, verse 8. In you shall all nations, what? Be blessed. But is that really the same thing as becoming a son of Abraham? Can we equate getting the blessing through Abraham with being a son of Abraham? Is that a legitimate jump or an inference that we can make? Are there any clues in Genesis that the blessing promised there in chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, is in fact a promise of sonship? I think there is. Turn to Genesis chapter 17. I want to read verses 4 and 5, talking about that connection of getting the blessing and having the sonship. Genesis chapter 17, verses 4 and 5. As for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. Some passages render this a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be Abram, but your name shall be Abraham. For I have made you a father of many nations, or a multitude of nations. Now, some people try to infer that those many nations are referring to his two sons, Ishmael and Esau. The last time I checked, two is not quite many or a multitude of nations. See, I don't think it's a stretch to say that the blessings that came to all nations in Genesis chapter 12 is any different than the fathering of many nations that we see in Genesis chapter 17. I think they are the same thing. And that the way that blessings come to us as Gentiles, those of many nations, is that we become Abraham's children. He becomes our father, and therefore we become heirs of the promises made to him. So it doesn't look at all to me like Paul is distorting this Genesis record and what it means to be a son of Abraham. Paul is a very perceptive interpreter. So that's the first thing that I wanted to say about being a child of Abraham. Number one, it is not the same thing as being a physical descendant from the man, the Jew, Abraham. Second, notice that it is being like Abraham that we become his children. Look at John chapter 8, verse 39. Jesus is having a spat again, like he did many times with the Pharisees, people who were trying to be justified by their works of the law. And they answered and said to him, verse 39, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do what? You would do the works of Abraham if you were really his children. And I think he teaches us two things in that passage there. Number one, that these Jewish Pharisees that he was arguing with were not Abraham's children, which confirms our point number one, that just because you're a descendant doesn't mean you're a child. And secondly, you are a son of Abraham if you are like Abraham. He says, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the things that Abraham did. You'd be a chip off the old block, so to say. Now, in Galatians chapter 3, verse 6, we find that Abraham did something. What did Abraham do in Galatians chapter 3, verse 6? He believed God. And therefore, verse 7 draws out the implication, it is those who also believe in God who are sons. Abram believed God enough to get up and leave his country and go to a land that God would show him, not knowing where he was going, dwelling in tents with his children until he would receive the promise, as we find in Hebrews chapter 11. He believed God enough to entrusted him to take his son Isaac and leave the ram behind, take the firewood, knowing that God would provide. That's the type of faith that Abraham had. He believed God. So the first thing that we can say about being a child of Abraham is it is not equated to being a physical descendant. And number two, it involves being like Abraham, doing what he did, especially in terms of our faith. Now the third thing, being a son of Abraham implies being an heir of Abraham. Look at Galatians chapter 3. Verse 29, and if you are Christ's, then you are Abram's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now remember that this passage comes right after verse 28, which said there's neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. The astonishing thing about this list that I think probably stood out to the Galatians is those who are listed as Greeks. We talked about this morning. These uncircumcised Gentiles are now going to be heirs of the most wonderful promise that God made to Abraham. How can that be? Why should they be entitled to that inheritance as well? So those were the three things that I wanted to bring out that make us children of Abraham. It's not a physical descendancy. Therefore, anyone in this room, anyone in the world today can be a child of Abraham and a child of God. Number two, it involves being like him, especially in terms of our faith. And it also means that you become an heir, a beneficiary of all that God has promised. So the big question that remains and begs to be asked this morning is what? What are those blessings? What are we the beneficiary of? What is it about those blessings that should give a businessman like Clayton or Ben, that should give a metal worker like Jacob Shipman or a librarian like Emily or a grandmother like Linda Sears or a vibrant young person like Savannah or Christian or a worn down fighter like some of our elderly brothers and sisters here this morning? What is it about those blessings that should give us an excitement about the inheritance of those blessings, make us sit up in our pew and want to know more? I want to focus on two things that we need to be thinking about in terms of those blessings. And these two things, they help us deal with two fears that everybody in this world has. Namely, those fears are meeting a most holy God and standing before Him with a load of sins. And number two that goes along with that, the fear of death. These two blessings that I'm going to talk about help you overcome those two fears. Meeting God with a load of sins and the fear of death. Number one, if you are a child of Abraham, you are a beneficiary of the inheritance of justification. Look with me in Galatians chapter 3, verse 8. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, "In you all nations of the earth shall be blessed." Now notice the connection there between those two parts of that verse. The reason that the Scripture promises blessings to these nations through Abraham is that God always intended to justify people by faith. That's the reason. Look at this. You could look at it second half and then the first half. The reason that the gospel was preached to Abraham is because the Scriptures knew way beforehand, that God would justify these Gentiles. That's why He preached it to Abraham. This must mean that part of the blessing that we get as being children of Abraham is justification. I'm going to read a couple passages. Romans chapter 3, verses 21. But now the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed. Remember again how Galatians, how we put into two camps, being justified by the works of the law, resulting in us being cursed and being made righteous and living by the belief in the faith that we need to have. Now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Christ Jesus, to all and on whom all believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by His blood through faith to demonstrate His righteousness. Because in His forbearance, God had passed over the sins that were previously committed to demonstrate at this present time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says that Jesus, who knew no sin, became sin for us. That's the justification. It's the union with Christ that we find in Romans chapter 6 and in Galatians chapter 3, 26 and 27. This is the legal term that Paul used in that day. We talked about it last week. What does it mean to be justified? It's the legal term that means to be acquitted, to have a verdict rendered of not guilty. God does not hold your sins against you anymore if you are a child of Abraham or you are a child of His. You are not guilty in the courts of heaven. And you don't need to fear standing before God loaded with sins. And it goes just beyond the removal of your sins. And it also includes what? It includes the imputation of Christ's righteousness to our account. Is there anyone here this morning struggling with a load of sin who isn't moved in your heart when hearing that God can say to you, not guilty? I hope that stirs something inside of you to know that Christ has stepped into your place and He has borne the wrath of God against sin, because that is the wage of it. He has stepped in and taken your place. I hope that means something very deep to you. That's the first thing that we can enjoy when you are a child of Abraham: the inheritance of justification. Number two, and this is the last point I'll make: if you're a child of Abraham, part of your guaranteed inheritance is the gift of the Holy Spirit, which helps us unto eternal life in the process of sanctification as we become holy as God is holy. There are two key passages in Galatians that put those two items together: the Spirit and eternal life. Look with me at Galatians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. The context here is there were those Galatians who were trying to follow the Judaizers and be circumcised and try to go back to the law of works. And it says of them that they are cursed. Don't do that. Christ became the curse for you. Look at what it says. I'll back up to verse 10. For as many as are the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Yet the law is not of faith, but of the man who does them shall live by faith. Here we go. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it's written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. And then here's the summary: that the blessing of Abraham, you see how it's tied there? Christ became a curse. He died for us, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon us, the Gentiles, in Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now, doesn't this verse teach that part of Abraham's blessing that we as Gentiles inherit is the gift of the Spirit? I think that this is a mark of being one of Abraham's children, just as it's a mark of being one of God's children. They are synonymous. We have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit to help us. And the connection that that has to eternal life that I brought up earlier is brought out in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 8. For he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap eternal life. You will sow your life. You will live your life in one of two soils. Which soil will you choose to live your life, plant your roots, raise your family in? Will it be the soil of the flesh? Or will it be the soil of the Spirit? If you sow your life, if you live your life, the things that you do, your affections, if they are rooted in the flesh, it will bring corruption. If you sow your life, live your life, produce fruit in the soil of the Spirit, you will have everlasting life, which deals with that second item I talked about, the fear of death. So now we have justification so we can stand before God, not worried about this load of sins because Christ has taken them for us. And we don't have to be afraid of dying because we have the Spirit of God inside us that gives us the encouragement to know that we will live with Him forever in eternity. So in summary, I've said five things this morning about what it means to be a child of Abraham. Number one, it's not the same as being a physical descendant of Abraham. Number two, it involves being like Abraham and doing the things that he does, namely through his faith. Number three, that you are an heir and will receive the benefits and the blessings of the inheritance. Namely, those two things are justification and the Holy Spirit. I want to close with an observation from this passage in Galatians. And it comes from Galatians chapter 3 and verse 7. And we need to look at it very carefully. Therefore, know that only those who are of faith are the sons of Abraham. So I ask you the question this morning, are you of faith? That is a very different thing than saying, did you at one time have faith? When you were baptized, you had faith. Do you have it today? Are you of faith? A child of Abraham can confidently say, I am crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ in me. And the life that I live by faith. A few verses right above that. I live by faith. Everything that I do in my life, the decisions I make, the choices I make, the way I treat my neighbor, the way I treat my coworker, it's all done through and by faith. That is the great comparison that we find in Galatians about how we choose to live our life. It's not about being black or white. It's not about being American or North Korean. This passage, this book was written to Christians. And Paul is begging these Christians, and he begs you today as well as we read this, choose to put your life in the faith of Jesus Christ, not in your own confidence and your own ability to work that out through the works of the law, as he says. I hope that this message was an encouragement to you this morning. Someday in heaven, there's going to be a wonderful chorus singing to God, praising Him where there's neither night, because His brightness will always be there and it will always be light. The saints, the angels, we will praise Him continually. I hope you want to be a part of that heavenly chorus. Faith is a precondition to be a part of that heavenly chorus and to hear that music, brothers and sisters. Faith is a precondition, and it is not a ticket that you get when you're baptized that you stick in your pocket and you keep there, and then on the day of judgment, you bring that ticket out and you say, here it is, July 1994. That's not the faith that God wants you to have. God wants you to, on this earth, develop an ear for that heavenly music. Know what it sounds like. Be encouraged by it. So that way, whenever you enter those gates, you're able to join the mighty chorus. Why don't you stand with us and sing? If there's anything that this congregation or the leadership can do to help you in primary obedience or to take away that load of sin that has you in fear, do so this morning.